scripture reading from this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew. It's the very beginning of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, the longest and greatest sermon Jesus ever preached. Everything we need to know about being a Christian is in that sermon. And everything we don't want to know but need to know about being a Christian is in that sermon. So we begin at the beginning, when Jesus gathers with his disciples and with thousands of others on a hillside. And he teaches and loves them and feeds their spirits. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, God's righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who came before you." May God bless the reading and the hearing, but most of all today, the living of the Word. I start this morning by telling you a short story about my dog. My dog, because of the problems, the abuse that he suffered as a puppy in his first year, he has to be on a special food. You know, it's one of those pill science diet things. And in that food, there's beef chunks and yummy things and gravy and vegetables. And for some reason, this last week or so, my dog has suddenly discovered the art of eating all the meat and the gravy and leaving the vegetables. Parents may have some, you know, ability to identify with this. You know, as children, my mom would make casseroles deliberately so that I would eat my vegetables. I'd pick around them, you know. I'd leave the peas on the plate or the broccoli, and you know, and my mother would say, "You can try that as much as you want. You can try to avoid as much as you want, but you will have to eat your vegetables." I told my dog that last night, too. It did work. He went back finally and ate. He did, because he gets a treat after he finishes eating, and if he doesn't eat the vegetables, he doesn't get the treat. Now, here's the thing, folks. The reason I told you that is because today is a vegetable sermon. Today is not a meat and potatoes sermon. And your treat afterwards is, if you're really good folks, I'll just continue to love you. I don't have treats for each of you. Today is not the easiest of sermons. The two passages of scripture that we have today are two of the most important scriptures. They sum up other parts of scripture very well. Next to Jesus' commandment of love God and love your neighbor, these are two of the most important. And we all need to be living these scriptures. Now, I'm going to go backwards. We're going to start with Beatitudes. Okay? If you read the Beatitudes and you read those carefully, you will realize that Jesus begins speaking to those who are the most downtrodden, the most who don't have any advantage, the poorest, the sickest, the lamest, those who are lowest in the world. And as he blesses them, he starts blessing those who know more, have more, are more, and then more. They understand more about God. They understand more about their responsibilities for love and kindness and goodness. And they are asked to do more, and then they are blessed. And they're asked to do more, and then they are blessed. And we get to the peacemakers. And we get to those who are reviled and persecuted for Jesus' sake because they stand and preach the truth. And they don't count the cost. The Beatitudes are a series that all of the followers sitting there, the thousands, would have found their place there and said, well, that's where I am right there. The fourth one down, that's me. Now I need to work to be the fifth one and the sixth one. And Jesus will go on with the rest of the Sermon on the Mount to teach them how to do all of those things. The point is, we need to always be developing as Christians, growing as Christians, encountering God in new and wondrous ways. But if you notice, if you read through the Beatitudes, Jesus starts blessing the poorest of the poor first. Sometimes that doesn't feel good to us. Well, I was in church on Sunday morning and I gave my offering and I came to Wednesday Wonder Night and I even went to Sunday school last week, so I think I ought to be blessed more. Really? Did you offer a ride to church to anybody? Did you invite anybody to join you? Did you feed anybody on the way home? Did you do anything that might be considered God's work during the week? What did you say? You want to be blessed first? The Beatitudes are Jesus' way of gently telling folks, you're doing it backwards. The rich, the famous, the powerful don't come first in my kingdom. The lowly, the discriminated against, the poverty-stricken, the naked, the lonely, the sick. Did I say lonely twice? Need to come first. Then we need to put them first if we're going to follow Jesus, because he's going to put them first. So what are we going to do now? Okay, now we know where our place is, where we are on this whole wonderful journey of faith. What are we going to do? That takes us to Micah. Oh boy, I'm going to get a little further away from you. No, I am going to come up here and come back down, but it takes us to Micah. Micah is one of the most beautiful passages to me. Actually, the whole book is beautiful. It's a prophetic work written 800 years before our Lord and Savior was born. 800 years! And yet it preaches as strongly as Jesus does what God wants us to do. What does the Lord require of you? Thank you. We are to act justly. And that's not our justice. That's God's justice. That's not comfortable. That's not comfortable. Because God's judgment and justice has to do with love, sharing, reconciliation, hope. It didn't have anything about to do with putting people down, putting people in their place, keeping them out of the country, keeping them out of a state, keeping them out of a community, or keeping them out of a church. Everybody is welcome in God's house. everybody is welcome in God's house. Everybody's welcome in this church, and everybody's welcome in this community. God did not start by making white Anglo-Saxons. Think about it a minute. Think about the creation story. Think about Jesus' story. There wasn't a pale white person in the whole story. They were all brown and black. They were all Middle Easterners. Now, when I say that, one or two of you are going to say, well, you know what, their terrorists will come in. I really hate to tell you this, but a terrorist can be any color, any religion, any economic status, any anything. I could be a terrorist, and right now some of you think I am. Nobody gets shut out. In God's house, in God's world, we are to act justly, which means we stand for those who are being discriminated against, wherever they are and whoever they are. Love mercy or love kindness. That one's always been one of those kind of, huh? Well, I do love kindness. I love it when people are kind to me. No. No, no, no. The word there is chesed. It's a Hebrew word, and it means actively loving each other. It doesn't mean calling somebody once a year and saying, hi, just wanted to check on you. I love you. Bye-bye. And hanging up and then just forgetting all about them for the next year until it's time to call them again. It means actively loving. Actively showing mercy to those who need mercy. There are people in our community, there are people in our church who need mercy. There's old hurts and old anger and old ugliness, and it needs to be gone. It's over. And it begins with us. Forgive it. Forget it. Let it go. Let God heal you. Let us be one people together, loving each other. This segregation stuff has got to stop. No cliques. No. That's not God's life. Now, that may be your life. So right now I'm a terrorist again, okay? But that's not God's vision for our world. God's vision for our world is that we love each other actively all the time. Whatever our past has been, we're looking at now. And we're looking at walking with the Lord now. Which brings us to walking humbly. God made a lot of mistakes in my life. And some of them are pretty big ones. And a lot of people have done a lot of very vicious, harmful, illegal things to me. And they were vicious. But if I've learned anything about following God, it is that it brings me to my knees. Because God loves me as I am. And I can forgive those who have not loved me as God does. And I can let go of that pain. And I can walk with God just grateful. Just grateful. And if I've learned anything else, it's that I don't walk by myself. I take the hand of the person closest to me, or the person who's farthest away. The person that I agree with the most, or the person that I disagree with the most. I take their hand and we walk together with God. And God will show us both. And then they will take a hand. And they will take a hand, and they will take a hand. And we no longer look at each other with distrust or fear. We look at each other as hands joined together, as one people, about all the particulars, but worried a whole lot more about what God's world is going to look like for us. There's been a lot of things happen this week. Some of them were okay. Some of them were real bad. Some of them were godly. Some of them weren't. Collectively, individually, we need to search our hearts, and we really do need to think about not just what's good, what makes me happy, what makes me feel good, but we need to look more at what's godly, what's holy. How do I walk humbly with God? Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are the ones who will stand and be persecuted and reviled for standing up for God's justice in this world. God's justice in this world. Blessed are those who will be Christ to another person this week. Blessed are the congregations who will be the body of Christ and humbly walk with their God. Blessed are those who will stand before another and lovingly say, "Stop. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting someone else. You're hurting God." Blessed are you when you believe and place all of your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I never knew I was a terrorist. I'm sort of pondering that now. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Our hymn of invitation today is the hymn that many of us have grounded our faith on. It's not about how great we are. It's about how great God is. As you stand to sing today, I truly pray that you will put all of your trust and your faith in God, and that you will view the world and the life around you through God's lenses, through holy light. Let us stand and sing.